kicking off with European club football.
Kim, let's kick off with the UEFA Champions League, widely regarded as the best club football competition in the world. We have two first-leg round of 16 matches this evening in Ukraine and the Netherlands. In Ukraine, Dynamo Kiev will host English Premier League club Manchester City. And in the Netherlands, PSV Eindhoven is at home against Spain's Atletico Madrid. In action Tuesday, another Spanish club, defending champion Barcelona, scored a convincing 2-0 victory over Arsenal in London. Argentine star Lionel Messi, the five-time FIFA World Player of the Year, scored two second-half goals for Barca. In the 71st minute, Messi provided a clinical finish to a breakaway move that featured strike partners Neymar and Luis Suarez. And then in the 83rd minute, Messi sealed the victory with a penalty kick. With two away goals and home advantage to come, Lionel Messi and Barcelona will be confident of reaching the UEFA Champions League quarterfinals for a ninth consecutive season. The second leg will be played March 16th in Barcelona. In Tuesday's other UEFA Champions League match, played in Turin, Italy, Juventus rallied from two goals down to draw 2-2 with Germany's Bayern Munich. Thomas Müller and Iron Robin scored in the 43rd and 55th minutes for Bayern. But Juventus came back on a goal by Argentina's Paulo Dybala, his first Champions League goal, shortly after the hour mark. And then substitute Stefano Storaro got the equalizer in the 76th minute. The second leg in the Juventus-Bayern series will also be March 16th in Munich, Germany. Our African football guru, David Legg, joins us again this evening for a look at the upcoming matches in the CAF Champions League and CAF Confederation Cup club competitions.
What I've decided to do is highlight five matches in each competition. First of all, the Champions League, and I'm looking at matches where there could be upsets. And the first obvious one is in Enyimba of Nigeria against Vipers of Uganda. Now, Vipers surprised Enyimba in the first match by winning 1-0 in Kampala. And 1-0 is not a nice away defeat. You'd much prefer to lose 2-1 or 3-2. And then you've got the advantage of away goals. So the tension for Enyimba is clearly the fact that they don't want to concede a goal at home. If they were to concede once the Vipers, then the Nigerian, known as the People's Elephant, they have to score three goals at least to make it through. Another factor, Sonny, that's going to cause some nerves among the Nigerian contingent is Enyimba just haven't shaped up in the last couple of years. In the last two Champions Leagues, Enyimba went out at the last 32 stage, and that's not what Nigerians expect from the club, who made history in 2003 by becoming the first club from the most populous country in Africa to win the CAF Champions League. And Enyimba, of course, went on to win it a second consecutive year. As far as the forecast goes, Sonny, I think Enyimba can scrape through. That match, incidentally, because the home ground in Aba of Enyimba is being renovated, it will be played in Port Harcourt. Another club with an identical situation to Enyimba are Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa. They played away to Chicken Inn of Zimbabwe, and Sundowns, who went into the game with a 19-match all-competitions unbeaten record, they lost 1-0. We did say on the Sunny Side of Sport that when Zimbabweans come up against South Africans at any level in football, they just seem to raise their game. They want to show their big brothers from the South what they can do. And that is exactly what happened. And Chicken Inn, they're sponsored by a fast food franchise by the name of Chicken Inn. They will come to South Africa, Sunny, in an identical frame of mind as the Vipers will go to Nigeria, thinking to themselves, if we can score a goal away from home, preferably the first goal, that really will put the pressure on our opponents, leaving Sundowns having to score three goals. But as in the case of Enyimba, one has to believe that Sundowns have got enough firepower up front to scrape through. They've got the Colombian, Leonardo Castro, who's settling in nicely. They've got the Zimbabwean, Kama Biliat. He missed the first leg. And then they've also got the South African Olympic captain, Keegan Dolly. Another one to watch out for, Sonny, I think, is Mouloudia Bejaia of Algeria against Ashanti Gold of Ghana. The Ghanaians one up from the first leg. Ghanaians have not done well against Algerians at club level in recent years, but to the credit of Ashanti Gold, the 1997 Champions League runners-up, they kept a clean sheet at home, and that is potentially crucial. I think Ashanti Gold could scrape through, but this one, Sonny, it's so close to call. Gamtel of Gambia. Now, Gambia is not a country you normally associate with success at the Champions League level, but they're only 2-1 behind against Olympique Kouribga of Morocco. And the Gambians have got home advantage playing in Brakama, just outside Banjul. So they've certainly got a chance. A 1-0 victory for Gamtel, and they would squeeze through on the away goals rule. And finally, Sonny, to another venue we don't get a chance to talk about very often, and that's Madagascar, because their clubs generally fare very poorly in Africa. But Canaps Sport, they shocked Gormahia of Kenya in Nairobi, winning 2-1. So even a draw at home will be enough for the Malagasy club to go through to the second round.
The Voice of America, VOA.
I'm switching now, Sonny, to the CAF Confederation Cup. That's the second-tier competition. And one that I'm going to be particularly interested in is Fomboni of the Comores, because they're in with a chance of bringing the Comore Islands their first ever overall success in CAF club competitions. They're one up against Atletico Olympic of Burundi ahead of the return match in Bujumbura. Cameroon have not been doing well in African club competitions. The last success, in fact, you have to go way back to 1981 when Union Douala won the then African Cup Winners' Cup. And New Stars Douala, they're a debutant club, they lost 1-0 away to Renaissance of Chad, so they've got some catching up to do. Generation Foot, a side that won the Senegalese FA Cup when they were a third division club, they're now a second division club. They're trailing Nasarawa United of Nigeria 2-1. So that scenario that we often discuss, a 1-0 victory for the Senegalese, and they would qualify on the away goal rule. Adema of Madagascar, they're trailing Harare City of Zimbabwe by 3-2. So, similar situation, Sonny. 1-0 or even a 2-1 victory for the Malagasies at home, and they would go through. And finally, we have an interesting one in East Africa. It's Bandari of Kenya up against St. Eloi Lupopo of the Democratic Republic of Congo. A tough task for the Kenyans. They lost the first match 2-0. That's a pity for them. They would, I'm sure, much prefer 3-1 or even 4-2, because now they've got to score at least twice and make sure that those Congolese goal-mouth predators do not score at all. All told, Sonny, we've got 21 matches coming up this weekend between Friday and Sunday in the CAF Champions League and 15 on Saturday and Sunday in the CAF Confederations Cup. And the winners overall of these ties, they will go into the first round proper, which is known as the round of 32. That will be played on consecutive weekends in the middle of March.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. In Olympic news, South Africa is confident of winning a record number of medals at the Rio Games in Brazil in August. The VOA's Daybreak Africa sportsman, Mark Ouma, caught up with a top South African sports official and asked him about the country's Olympic chances.
South African Sports and Recreation Deputy Minister Gert Oosthuizen reckons South Africa will bag more medals in Rio de Janeiro than ever before at any Olympics and Paralympics. I caught up with him at the Best Made Road Race in the South African capital, Tshwane, where he offered an insight as to why he graces this annual event.
If you look at the vision and the mission of the Department of Sport and Recreation, it's to create an active and a winning nation, to foster social cohesion. You find that sport has the power to really unite people. It's a language, you know, that transcends all barriers. This Best Made Marathon, half marathon, started 5 years ago, and we had 2,000 people that entered. Yeah, this year, we're close to 17,000 people. And if you look around, you see the Rainbow Children of Nelson Mandela participating this morning. I'm here because we are really actively supporting partnerships, private sector, institutions of excellence, creating opportunities for people to live and practice an active and healthy lifestyle. The children to play in the theme park today.
This is an Olympic year. What are your expectations from your Olympians this year?
We have high expectations because our Sports Confederation and Olympic Committee went through with the federations a very stringent selection process. We ensured that we get the athletes that are qualifying and we put them in a high performance center and nurture them and ensure that wherever we send them, they will really be able to compete at the world stage. We have high expectations of them and of the Paralympics. We have a very strong Paralympic team. Our focus is to say we want to normalize society. Hence, this morning you would have seen people in wheelchairs participating in the marathons. You know, we have role models in that field. Ernst van Dijk is a well-known wheelchair racer. The sports movement in this country has the expectation to have a better medal count this year around than we've had in the previous Olympic Games.
That was Gert Ostwezen, South African Deputy Minister of Sports and Recreation, speaking in Tshwane, South Africa.
Thanks, Mark. That's Mark Ouma reporting from Johannesburg, South Africa. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Andrew, what's trending in the sports world on this Wednesday?
Well, the big trend is one name, Cristiano Ronaldo. Cristiano Ronaldo has just surpassed all other athletes in the world to have the most Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram followers of any professional athlete.
Wow.
So, over 200 million combined for those three social media. So a big milestone for him. It's interesting to note that he has more combined Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram followers than LeBron James, Steph Curry, and Kobe Bryant combined. I know we talk a lot about the NBA and their social media followers there. Well, he has more than those top three players combined.
So all right, how about our